in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans.
You guys get nervous before big trips, or it just kind of is what it is? Like, you just went on a big trip there,
yep.
Big guy. You got back. I know, and I know Shefty made you nervous.
Yep.
But you ended up being okay. Because it hasn't even registered, so I leave tomorrow. I am leaving in 34 hours to go to Scotland. Big golf trip that we did with On the Tee, me, Stephen Watson, bunch of fans, our guy Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips. I haven't even started packing yet.
It's fine. I'm a late packer.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
that was kind of funny. You missed that.
Oh, I heard it.
Why didn't you laugh?
I was working on the cameras here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
apparently he didn't think it was funny.
Okay. Screw him.
You got to work harder to get Joshy to laugh.
It was snicker worthy, not giggle worthy.
Oh, wow.
See, you got to look at it, Gabe. Wow. You have PTSD. Rightfully so.
A little bit, yeah. But I don't think I'm going to have that PTSD until...
Yeah, you are.
I land, and I'm waiting for it on the carousel.
Really? It's not in the back of your mind right now?
I mean, it's in the back there, but it's not, like, affecting... I mean, it's not going to affect the way I pack.
Just be happy that you're 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah.
The story is you lost your luggage last time you went there for 35 days.
Yeah, so...
Could you imagine if you were my size?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Where are you going to find clothes in Scotland that fit?
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I landed in Scotland, had a layover in Amsterdam, and the airport was under construction. Like, we had to take a bus. Like, we took a shuttle to our plane. Like, we didn't board the normal way. We, like, boarded, you know, on those stairs that take you up. So, and it was only like an hour layover, so at some point my luggage did not, my golf clubs did, which honestly is the most important part of the golf trip.
See,
if you're standing on a historic course you've been looking forward to and you look over like, hey, this isn't my 7-iron.
Yeah.
Like, that's more noticeable than, you know, I bought pants and shoes. Underwear was the hardest thing to find for whatever reason.
Which is weird. Well, maybe they don't wear underwear. Maybe they wear burlap and it's very uncomfortable.
Because, especially around the golf course, like, there's a lot of different golf shops.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easy to find socks and pants and shirts and, you know, pullovers and vests and hats, whatever, you know, whatever I needed golf-wise. But, like, I had to, like, wander deeper into St. Andrews away from the golf course to find a place to get underwear. Like, that was the hardest thing to find. It was very frustrating.
See, I approached my last trip like surgery.
Okay.
You know, I like surgeries. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
You know why I like surgeries?
Why do you like surgeries?
Because you get pampered. You get pampered. Now, I'm a little...
You're an NFL boy. NFL boy.
Yeah. I'm high maintenance. I am NFL boy. So kind of went over first class. And I want to be pampered.
Yeah.
Garcon, glass of wine, please.
Garcon.
That's me. I just want to be pampered. So I look forward to that.
Okay.
Like, I look forward to surgeries.
Okay, because you get pampered.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm not sitting first class. Again, I don't mind. Like, I sleep easy. Like, I'm not worried about the international travel. But I guess if you were me and you went through, because again, you're going to Scotland.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to probably want to put, you know, my favorite golf clothes in there in my luggage. Or should I pack, you know, maybe not my favorites just in case the luggage is lost again?
I mean, losing your luggage sucked.
Yeah.
But
it worked
out
in the end.
You got reimbursed for all the new clothes that you bought. So you kind of have.
Oh, so in the end, it worked out for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended up being really strange. I was on the phone with the airline every day trying to track down my luggage. Like, it was insane because we stayed in two different spots when I was in Scotland the last time. And as we were leaving the one spot to go to North Berwick.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, your luggage was supposed to arrive today. I'm like, no, don't send it to the Airbnb there, man. Like, I'm not there
anymore.
You're
gone, yeah.
And you know, we'll just send it back to the States. I bet it beats you home. Literally 35 days later, it just arrived on my front porch. Like, I was playing golf on a Saturday, and I got a picture of my missing luggage from my wife saying, look what showed up today. Like, it just magically showed up. But, you know, I've got a lot of these loud, crazy custom pants. Like, I've got, you know, like that I had packed and were gone, and I didn't know if I was ever going to get them back. So do I pack those?
Yes.
Do I
just the odds of them losing your bag again?
Yeah.
You might as well go play the lottery. Right?
I think the lesson you can learn here is you probably should go backpack and carry on and have at least some stuff in each. I would like make sure your underwear's in your backpack. And then the most important stuff that you like would be pretty upset if you lost, just have in a carry-on. It is more bags. That does make it more complicated, but I think you can make it work.
Yeah, would you rather lose your clubs or your clothes?
Clothes.
Really?
12 times out of 10.
Clubs. Yeah, but,
especially being left-handed.
Clubs are much more expensive.
Yeah, but you don't have length put on to your clubs,
so
right?
I do have a half inch on my irons.
Okay. Because if you didn't, you could just...
Well, but also, like, they typically, if you're renting clubs, I swing the club kind of hard. They don't have, like, that weight and shaft that I need.
Okay.
Dave said, Chew, looks like you'd be wearing a kilt if you lost your luggage in Scotland,
that's
brother.
Good, very good. Yes, I would.
I bet you could find a kilt for you, buddy.
Now, I have 2 inches on my clubs.
Yeah.
And... I think they lost them or they couldn't. I lost my clubs one time. I was playing, I think, in Cancun. And me with normal clubs is dwarf on golf.
I was about to say.
It looks ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it literally looks. But it was a challenge. So
it's like
fun.
Andre the Giant where he's holding.
Were there any swings
like a wedge? A wedge I should have played on my knees. You know?
I mean, when I tried to use the lady clubs at the TMJ golf outing, it took me about 15 hacks just to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Because it was so hard to try and bend your knees more and get so low.
And the whip on those things.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's very whippy.
Yes. So did you basically get to, because they reimbursed you for, did you have a limit or they kind of just told you whatever?
So I actually ended up double dipping.
Yeah.
So they told me, you know, when I talked to them, they said, you know, kind of within reason. So I wanted, you know, I didn't want to go spend $3,000 on new clothes, right? Because I didn't think I'd be reimbursed. So I kind of kept it, you know, I got a couple pairs of pants. I bought a pair of golf shoes, you know, socks to get me through the week. And then, you know, so basically anything that I bought from the golf courses that I was going to buy anyway.
That's what I was going to say. So you got all free merch, basically.
I did. And then I got a little $500 on top of it.
Oh, that's a nice little.
Because after 21 days, your luggage is considered technically lost. Oh. And then they pay you out for that.
So was it worth it?
In the end, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, it was worth it.
How mad were you at the time, though? I mean, you don't get mad.
No, I was getting increasingly frustrated because when it first happened, they said, oh, we've got 4 flights a day. It'll, you know, you'll get your luggage either later today, at worst tomorrow morning.
Like,
whatever, I can wear these clothes. Like, we'll figure it out. And somebody was nice enough to like loan me a golf shirt and I wore their rain pants for the first round of golf that we played because my stuff wasn't there. After that, I'm like, okay, I can't keep borrowing people's clothes. Yeah. I need to like just go buy a bunch of stuff. The frustrating part was having to call and talk to them, trying to get an update every day.
Yeah.
That was the frustrating
and
part.
And probably the walking through to find underwear through
the
city.
Yeah, that was,
Yeah, it's more the mental stress than the actual played out. Like, you're a pretty standard size. You can make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
They got your size everywhere.
Yeah. It was finding the clothes was not the tough part, except for, again, the underwear, which, again, then take saying, hey, just throw some underwear in your carry-on. It's not going to take that much room, which I probably should do, again, just in case.
Are you anticipating watching football?
So I got to figure that out. That's one of the things that I want to do, because we'll be landing in the Packers game is going to kick off at like 6 o'clock local time there. And I'll be back in where we're staying for the first half of the trip. So I got to figure out a way that I can sit down. Because we're not playing golf that Sunday because different people are getting in at different times. And the sun sets at like 6:30 anyway. So 6 o'clock would be
perfect.
They're
probably not going to have it. Although Scotland isn't their favorite team, the Pack.
Can you use your phone app?
I don't know. These are all things
that
I need
internet,
to dive
you should
into.
Be able to do
it. That's what I'm saying. I've got NFL Plus.
Right.
I've got YouTube TV. Like, there's got to be a way I can sit down and watch this game.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I know they geofence some stuff, but I can't imagine
what
that would be.
Geofence?
The hell is that?
For somebody who invests in robot flipping you know,
a
robot,
geofence.
Robots flipping burgers.
Can I guess what that is?
Yes, please.
It's a fence made out of the car Geos.
The Geo Metro. That's just what I'm picturing.
Right? What the hell is a geofence?
It is certain things apps use to not make their product available outside of certain limits. So, say you want to stream something like the Brewers, they will geofence that type of broadcast because the broadcast partners don't want people just being able to pick it up and, you know, listen to something that's paid for free.
Yeah. So if you're living in California and you want to listen to the Brewers, you can't pull up the TMJ app and listen because it's geofenced to the area.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Because baseball, and it's the same thing with the NFL and NBA.
Yeah.
They want you to pay for that. So
it's a licensing issue?
Yeah.
All right. Geofence. Oh, come on. You can't come up with something better than that.
What do you got? If you think it's so easy, what do you got?
It's geography and fence. So.
Restrictor plates. How's that? That sounds better.
But we already have that. Yeah, we already have that in NASCAR. That's already a thing.
All right, I'll come up with something.
Okay, you'll come up with something better than geofence.
Yes.
Meanwhile, it's going to be tough for the Packers to come up with something better than Xavier McKinney. Like, am I the only one? I can't be the only one that just continues to wonder, how the hell did we get this guy? Like, how did this guy become available?
Giants. Yeah, well, look at the Giants.
Should we put together a thank you letter to Joe Shane?
I think we should.
Whatever his name is.
I think we should.
Just send it over to the New York.
Dear Joe, thank you for being a Bleep Show.
Yeah, because he's trending towards...
He ain't gonna have a job.
No, having a specific defense built just for McKinney. He's that good.
Yeah.
Right now, he's not.
Yeah. But I mean, well,
I think the defense was built with him in mind.
No, I'm saying in New York.
Oh.
Because they said, oh, he doesn't really fit what we do here in New York. Well, that's probably why you're wanting whatever.
You probably find a reason to make him fit.
But again, that just never ceases to amaze me, like how incompetent a lot of these franchises are. And not that the Packers...
They are.
The Packers have made mistakes. You know, like Micah Hyde.
I was just going right there. One of the biggest mistakes.
They played Micah out of position, tried to make him a corner, and then he becomes an all-pro safety with Buffalo, right? But...
Yeah, but what you do, I don't care. You keep football players.
Yes.
You keep football players. Even if he doesn't fit your system, you find a place for him.
Yeah.
Because pure football players are hard to find. Because of instincts. I mean, like LeRoy.
Yeah.
His instincts were unbelievable, you know? And that's hard to find in players like that.
But that's where, again, the best coaches, I've always thought. Like Bill Belichick, I think, has always been successful, or always was successful, defensively, because he wasn't, hey, this is my scheme. This is what I run. This is, like, have you ever heard the term the Bill Belichick defense? No. Because he takes a look back. Okay, what do we have defensively? I'm sure he's got, like, principles that he wants to live by.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks back, takes a look at the roster. Oh, we're strong in this position, but we're not so strong here. So I have to do this to try to, you know, hide this, but be able to showcase this. Like, he shifts. Like, he doesn't stay stubborn in his one thing.
He's a savant.
Yes.
Right? Some people just look at certain things and be like, oh, I know how to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And not that that's replicable, but again, if you have a player who now has 5 interceptions in 5 games and was going to be the highest sought free agents,
mm-hmm.
one of, like, how as a team don't you go, hey, we have to find a spot for this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand Josh Jacobs. He's a running back, didn't have a very good year the year before. Like, that makes more sense to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Josh Jacobs was available, that makes sense to me. The fact that when they got, you know, it didn't end well, but it was great for a couple of seasons, Za'Darius Smith. Like, he hadn't had a double-digit sack season yet. You know, the Packers, at the time, maybe overpaid because they were projecting, and they ended up hitting that one, and that was great. And again, didn't end so well because he wanted to be a captain, wasn't named a captain. But, like...
Still got that chain, though.
But yeah, he does. But I understand why Za'Darius was available. Like, Xavier McKinney, by all accounts, was like, hey, this guy's pretty good safety.
He was a captain. At 22 years old, first. He was a free agent at 20. People don't let 24-year-olds who are, like, all-pro level just walk away. Because his best years are still in front of him. And that's crazy to say because he has 5 interceptions in 5 consecutive games right now.
Yeah.
But his best is still ahead of him. He's like not done getting better.
Yeah.
Well,
because the interceptions,
has nothing to do with him. That has to do with the personnel that they have. Okay. And what I mean by that is right now you can't, because LeRoy, the nice thing about LeRoy, and it was just another trick in Fritz's bag, is we had such a dominant front four that, hey, you know, let's send the safety instead of a linebacker. They'll never see this coming. He hasn't touched that yet. I mean, there's a saying ever since I started playing, well, major football was the more you can do, the better you are.
Mm-hmm.
He can cover.
Yep.
He can play center field.
Yep.
He can tackle.
Yep.
We don't know if he can blitz yet because they can't put him in that position right now because they can't get home with four. Mm-hmm. When they eventually be able to get home with four, you're going to see him do even more. Yeah, New York's stupid. You know?
Maybe this is me being naive. From what I've seen from Xavier McKinney, I think he can blitz. They just haven't used him there.
Yeah. If I was a betting man.
Yeah.
He just, he's a ball player. It's that simple.
Yeah. Do I think, if he can do all those other things, I think he could blitz effectively? I do believe that. Yeah. Yes.
But it's also like, what's he more valuable as that, you know, as a safety or a true corner? Like, have we really seen him line up in the slot? That was like not part really, of his thing.
But that's the same.
Because they used Evan Williams there.
But it's the same with like Jaden Reed. He's not just a receiver.
No.
He's
a football player.
And I don't think they've reached everything they can do with him. I still think they're finding themselves. Tucker Kraft, right? Can block. Can catch. Can do a lot. Be nice if he could long snap. You know? The problem with long snapping is this, and I learned it from my buddy.
Wait.
I'm telling you, the more you can do. But here's what I learned from my buddy.
Okay.
So my buddy used to work for a drug company for 30 years, 30 plus years. And he was unbelievable about doing this. But you never want to be on the top because they're going to expect you to be great every year. And that's how I approached long snapping. You don't want to be perfect every time because there comes a time like, I really don't want to do this anymore. Let me just roll one back there. Frank, get in there. Happened in Cleveland. Now, Frank hates me, but I don't care. As long as the head coach does, you know.
Yeah.
We need to reverse.
So I believe what happened, Josh, is I think Chewy's aware that the Jason Wilde comparison of Tucker Kraft to Mark Chmura maybe took a hit this week because, well, Tucker Kraft had a 66-yard reception. And Chewy's response to that was, yeah, you can catch and run, but can you long snap? And therefore, Chewy's still on top.
He felt himself getting nipped at the heels by the young gun.
So I threw out the Trump. I threw the jack down.
Yeah. Here's the right power. Here we go.
The more you can do.
We'll see what Jason Wilde has to say about that. Coming up next on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Good morning, dudes. How are you?
Doing great. We think we're going to write a letter to Joe Shane. Do you want to help us compose that?
Well, I do have some writing experience. Yeah. I'd love to help.
We just want to write
a thank you letter.
Yeah, we just want to write him a nice little thank you note, you know, that they decided that Xavier McKinney wasn't worth signing to their team.
Yeah, you can use the line that Charles Woodson used when he was on our show, and we asked him about this, and you could just change it just slightly and say, you are not very good at your job.
Okay, all right. We'll make sure to incorporate
Jason,
that.
Would he be MVP or a defensive MVP if the season ended today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's got the most sacks in the league. I know it's not Rashawn Gary.
Hutchinson's got 6.5, I think.
Yeah, but interceptions are much more impressive than sacks, right, Jason?
Sure, no doubt. I just, you know, if by the end of the season you got a guy that's, you know, up into the 20s, obviously, then you probably can't win. So, he has been fantastic. It's not just the interceptions, but as you well know from the days when he used to vote for Pro Bowlers, like, the numbers matter.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers matter to everybody. And to do this in five games, first player since the NFL merger with the AFL to intercept a pass in each of the first five games he played with his new team. Anytime you're saying since the NFL-AFL merger on something that a guy has accomplished, that's pretty impressive.
Jason Musgrave going on IR? No.
Yes.
He is.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he had surgery. I think he had it maybe even yesterday, because Tucker Kraft said he was on the mend, which you're not on the mend until you have something to mend from. And this ankle injury, I mean, he had actually been a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. So whether or not he's back before the end of the season, Matt LaFleur said, hopefully that's the hope.
Wow.
So that wasn't exactly convincing either.
Huh.
Is that because they went through the Bakhtiari situation? So anytime somebody's dealing with something that they don't, because it seems like this was diagnosed pretty late. He was active on Sunday, granted didn't play because he was kind of a, you know, break glass in case of an emergency situation, from my understanding, Jason. But anytime they kind of diagnose something a little later like this, they're probably going to be more cautious in terms of talking about futures, right?
Sure, no doubt. And again, looking at his kind of path to this moment, like you said, he was active. He was trying to play through this and had been trying to do so for over a week. And obviously they finally realized, okay, this is not something that they can keep doing. So I'm guessing he had surgery yesterday morning based on the way some of the questions were answered. And when it comes to surgery, obviously you don't know how long the timeline is going to be. But when Matt LaFleur acknowledges that he's going on injured reserve, that tells you that it's going to be a while, more potentially even more than the four games required.
Jason, do you have any fear of them looking past this game and looking forward to the Houston game?
I don't think so. I mean, they've got so much to deal with, like, you know, the Romeo Doubs stuff that's still going on, the fact that, you know, this is a team that, regardless of what you think about where the 49ers are at, and they got a good win last night, obviously, but, you know, these guys went into San Francisco and beat the 49ers. Like, that's if you were thinking about looking past them, you probably shouldn't now, right? So, you know, I do know that the defense has spent a good portion of the week talking about Kyler Murray and, you know, Matt LaFleur's line about how he can make you look silly quick. So I don't think so. But, you know, again, I'm not sure how young players kind of process stuff, right? Like, when you were playing and a veteran, like, there were veterans that certainly were looking past games mm-hmm. like that and felt like they could, I don't want to say go through the motions, but, you know, we can kind of roll our helmets out there. And more often than not, by the way, even when you guys were looking past teams, you still won because you were that good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe these guys are that good too.
Jason, what did Stenovich and other assistants have to say about the Doubs situation yesterday?
Well, Steno didn't want to say much.
Seems to be on brand.
At least he didn't say he was limited. You know, what I wanted to ask him, and I wanted to have his answer on the record in the unlikely but still possible event that they get to, you know, the weekend here and think, okay, he's back, but we don't like the headspace he's in, and they deactivate him on Sunday? Like, again, I'm not saying that that's the likely scenario, but I wanted to ask, you know, Steno, how do you reintegrate a guy who, you know, missed a week, frankly, did not apologize to the entirety of the team, and, you know, you're not quite sure where he's at mentally, right? Like, if we're going to talk about mental health, and we're going to talk about the importance of it. You know, yesterday was World Mental Health Day, ironically enough. Then we have to at least talk about if this guy has not given any indication that he, you know, is remorseful or whatever it might be, like, again, there's something, there's more bubbling. I know some fans don't want to hear this, but there's still something, I don't know what it is, but something's bubbling beneath the surface still. Like, I don't know, just in some of the, you know, conversations I had in the locker room yesterday, like, nobody's throwing him under the bus, nobody's saying, you know, mean, angry things about him, but, like, it, you know, when I say it seems unresolved, I'm not just conjuring that up out of thin air. And so, you know, I guess I'm curious if, you know, whatever the reason would be that they're not sure that he's fully all in, whatever it is, I would be curious whether or not they would actually have, you know, you get paid and you're not banished from the team. But I just wonder if they would say, okay, well, we're going to deactivate him. We think he needs another week to kind of get back to the right mental place.
Jason, do you know if they have Josh Jacobs on a pitch count? Because all I, you know, as far as keeping him fresh for the end of the year, because all I remember is Dorsey Levens back in the day, and running backs get beat up the most of anybody on the team, week in and week out.
Yep.
And I just remember Dorsey coming in, and you feel bad for him because he could barely walk, like week 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? You think they're really monitoring that, or is it too early?
I don't think they're monitoring it as much as they would if it was Aaron Jones. It's funny because the game where Josh Jacobs had, whatever it was, 32 carries for 151 yards, Dorsey was at the game, and I was texting with him during the game about it because it was like, seriously, it's like a throwback to 1997, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
Or 2003 when Amon Green had 355 carries plus 50 catches. I mean, is there anybody in the NFL right now that would actually have 400 touches in a season? But that now starts to look like a one-off, right? They've gotten a little more confidence in Emmanuel Wilson. Frankly, they had some concerns in the Minnesota game about Josh Jacobs. When he blocked someone, he blocked them well, but they thought that he was basically blocking the wrong guy a couple times. And so, you know, I don't think that there's a hard and fast, okay, we're not going to let this guy go over this number of snaps. But I do think they're, you know, aware of the importance of making sure that they don't wear him out.
Apparently, Josh Jacobs, 393 touches just a couple of seasons ago, in 2022.
Oh, there you go.
So we got close. Is Jordan healthy enough where he's going to take more snaps under center? Because I think that's where this running game can really take off, Jason, mm-hmm. and more of the play action stuff. And look, the offense is still having explosive plays without those things. I just think they're hopefully just scratching the surface in terms of the potential of the offense.
Yeah, Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated asked him that exact question on Wednesday, and he said that he believes that they'll be able to do more under center this week. So you and Hubes are on the same page, and so is Jordan Love. I do think the play action game is just, I mean, I'm not pretending I'm Bill Walsh here, but this is going to really shock a lot of people. The play action game works a lot better when you're under center, and it looks a lot more like you might run the football. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Totally.
Instead of just like the little, like, out of the shotgun, you just kind of throw your hands in front of you real quick, like, oh, maybe I'm going to hand it off, but you're already dropping back. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of, it's like a token thing, like, okay, I have to do this, but yeah, it's not the same.
This has been your deep breakdown of offensive football.
So, Jason, how do you see this game playing out?
Well, I'm gonna keep using Homer's line for these types of games because I just liked it so much. Like, if you are the team that you think you are, you don't lose this game. You just don't. You're at home. And I know Sadie's very excited about this game.
Go Pack, go! Yeah, I hear you, Sadie.
Apparently, they don't care that we're on the radio today. The that's enough, please. Oh my God!
Somebody's.
No, stop. Stop barking. Stop barking. Yeah, yeah, grumble, grumble. Yeah. Yeah, no, now we're barking into the phone. Okay. I think that
someone's got to poop.
I would pick the underdog.
that was good. I used to love that show. Jason, you remember Underdog?
I do.
Oh, what a wonderful. They need to bring that back.
Underdog and the Greatest American Hero,
yes.
Two of the underrated superheroes in television history as I wrestle with my 55-pound golden doodle to shut her up.
All right, Jason. Well, we'll let you go. You take care of Sadie. And...
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. You know,
Tell your dog
this
I said
hi. This is only supposed to happen when Brust is on the radio. his voice is like a dog whistle. Yeah.
We appreciate it, Jason. Listen, that's all good, bud.
Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yeah, it's always fun when Jason's animals decide to insert themselves into the conversation. The next best round of golf for you. It's waiting for you at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what I did. Become a member out there at the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments, no food and beverage minimums. Beautiful golf course that's fun, challenging, tree-lined fairways. I'm going to be out there playing today before I go on my trip to Scotland. But if you're looking to join a club that's more than just a golf course, well, Wisconsin Club is tennis, pickleball courts, and a pool with themed Sunday fun days each and every week. Those are always fun for the kiddos during the summer. So get started today. Find out more. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club. Just a fair way away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Typically, Craig Karmazin joins us at this time every Friday. However, he is in Milwaukee. He's always here, there, everywhere. So he's in Milwaukee. He's going to be joining us in studio at 8:30. So if you want to hear from Good Karma Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin, he's going to be joining us in 50 minutes. But I do want people at 800-990-3776 chime in. So Jason's got one line that I want to include. And I'd like to actually, you know, maybe get this done by the end of the day. I want people to submit lines that they want included in our letter to Giants general manager Joe Shane, our thank you letter for him allowing Xavier McKinney to become a free agent and therefore a member of the Green Bay Packers. Jason kicked us off borrowing a line from Charles Woodson, who appeared on their show last week, saying, "You are not very good at your job." So we'll make sure we include that in the thank you note.
What was worse, letting Saquon go or letting McKinney go?
For the Giants, probably Saquon, because their owner, especially when you get the video from Hard Knocks of the owner going, "Man, I don't think I could stomach it if Saquon becomes a member of the Eagles."
Yeah.
And then he goes to Philadelphia.
Well, it all started with Daniel Jones, because that decision was really stupid.
But again, $40 million for a quarterback seems cheap now. It's not very expensive for a quarterback.
I mean, that is true, but...
And Cody points out, I believe the value of Stacey's across the league as a whole, and they just don't value positions, so he's not surprised the Giants moved off him. Thankfully, they did, but not surprised. So here's the thing with that. Xavier McKinney is playing like one of the best safeties in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the best player at a position, that's still valued. Like, running backs as a whole are not valued across the league, right? Like, just, they're not. You know, teams don't want it. That's why Josh Jacobs became available. It's why Josh Jacobs got the contract he got from the Green Bay Packers, basically a one-year, and then we'll see deal. But if you have Christian McCaffrey, guess what the 49ers do there? They value him. They pay him.
Yeah.
If you have the best player at any position, even if that position is kind of devalued across the league, if you have the best at that position, you still value this, and you pay that position.
Yeah, there's only one position that's never going to change the game and never going to break the bank, and that's...
Long snapper?
Fullback.
I mean,
if you have the best fullback in the league, you'd be like, correct. Oh, this is a game changer. Yeah. We're going to build our offense around them. It's stupid. A safety, yeah, they devalued everyone that's an average player.
Yeah.
But when you have someone special that you can build a defense around, yeah, you pay them, especially when they're young.
Yeah. Especially when he's this young.
Yeah.
24 years old.
And they wound up getting rid of the D coordinator anyways. Right?
Yeah, they did.
What's his name? He went to Michigan. Weird.
Wink.
Wink Martindale.
There's probably six or seven positions, if you wanted to argue, were devalued. But the best guys at those positions all still get paid.
Yep.
They are all still game changers.
Who are some of the Packers that they clearly made a mistake in letting him go? Micah Hyde is obviously a glaring one.
Casey Hayward.
Yeah.
Had some all pro seasons in
San Diego.
At that point, San Diego.
Yeah.
Corey Linsley.
Did they give him a second contract?
Was I think that his they might
third?
Have. Yeah,
but
might
he
have
just
been
was
third.
Still good.
He was still good.
Like 3 or 4 months. Jason
Treader,
TJ Lang.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was kind of at the end. You know, like Hayward and Hyde stand out for me because they only had they only played on their rookie contract.
Yeah,
and then they went much like Xavier. Then went somewhere else. Like TJ played here a long time. Same thing with I think Lindsay
Wayne
got
Simmons
a second contract. So Wayne,
even though he didn't do anything in Kansas City really when he went there,
but Ron is on the record saying he regrets that because Wayne was, for a different reason, like Wayne was such a
nut job.
Sure, but he also like made such an impact on your defense specifically. You know, I don't want to call him the heart and soul of the defense because he wasn't, but he's.
But
like,
that, I'm going to tell you this right now.
You missed that attitude in Super Bowl 32.
I agree.
Lindsley played 7 years with the Packers and only three more with the Chargers.
That was not totally Ron's decision.
Was that Mike?
Mike didn't like the fact that he was not controllable.
Okay.
Like, Wayne did his own thing. The only one that could control Wayne?
Reggie?
Fritz.
Oh, and you still had Fritz.
Fritz was the only one.
So, but you still had Fritz. It's not like Fritz had left.
Yeah, but that was one of those things. Hey, and Mike got a lot of power once he won Super Bowl 31. I mean, Ron was still the boss.
Understandable. He won the first Super Bowl in 29 years, you know.
But Ron was still the boss. But I think Mike had a lot of influence in shipping him off.
Yeah.
Because even though Seth Joyner was a great player, really good in Philadelphia, Seth was not Seth.
No,
at the end
no,
of his
he
career.
Was not. No, he was not the player that he was in Philly. He was just kind of a name at that point.
There are some players that just simply get better when they get a change of scenery.
Yeah,
like that
or they're just not in the
right.
Right.
Yeah, I'll give you another one. Bryce Pop.
Oh, Pop's a good one.
Bryce Pop went on to Buffalo and won Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, Sean Jones was great, and the salary cap was more debilitating back when I played than it is today.
Yeah.
But could you imagine Bryce Pop
and
Reggie White? I mean, that would have made that
just imagine
front four even better.
I mean, how much partying could you have done in New Orleans that week? If your defense had Bryce Pop, it'd be even better.
Oh, Bryce. Bryce was great. Bryce was my roommate.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a little odd. He'd always come into the hotel. Wow.
Too late. You're already in it.
Yep.
He'd like throw bananas at the wall, and then all he'd want to do is watch Cops.
Is he a stepbrother?
I don't know. We'd walk in.
You walk in? Why are you all
whack?
Sweating?
I'm like, okay, let's watch Cops. Yeah.
Why are you all sweating? Watching Cops?
Why?
Why? I don't know.
Did the banana
some questions
the...
you just don't ask.
Did the banana at the wall thing happen more than one occasion?
Yes, every time we went in there.
Why did he always have a banana?
Because
potassium?
Potassium.
Ever hear of it?
Yeah.
Did he eat them after they hit the wall?
No.
No. Wait, so these are full banana and not just the peel?
No, this is a full banana.
Oh, I just assumed he had ate the banana.
No.
And this was just a projectile to throw at you. This wasn't actually for sustenance.
Yes.
Just chucking bananas at you?
Not at me, at the wall. Yeah. I love Bryce.
Elias wants to say MVS, 2 Super Bowls.
Ugh.
No.
Does anybody miss MVS?
No.
No. No.
I mean, there aren't many. I think it's more defensively because you think of like Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings had a second contract here. Packers didn't give him a third. You know, he didn't really have success up in Minnesota. I mean, I guess Ryan Longwell. I mean, he kicked for a long time in Minnesota.
Nah, he was on the back end.
He was on the back end.
I mean, Ron always said Jaime Hendrich, the punter.
Oh yeah, he had a really good career.
Yeah, because he played probably another 12 years after he left Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's a Hall of Fame punter? No.
Like Packers
is he regarded?
Hall of Fame?
No, like NFL.
Oh, no, he's not. I mean,
he played for 18 years.
Yeah. How many punters are in the NFL?
Ray Guy.
I think, yeah.
Is he the only one?
I think it's just Ray Guy.
I'm sick of the Hall of Fame.
Wait, okay.
No. You know what? Every position should have an equal amount of players in it.
Even punter?
Yes. No.
That's what I was about to say. Like, there he is. About to say you're going to advocate for punters after years and years and years of trying to tell me they're not real football players.
No, okay, but there should be more than one. Would you agree with me there?
Probably.
Who's the most famous punter you know comes to your mind right now? Go, hurry
most
up.
Famous punter.
I mean, Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
You guys suck. Reggie Roby.
He was fine.
He was great.
I spend so little time thinking about punters. I could. If you tried to like name as many Packers punters as possible.
Paul McJulian, Brian Wagner.
I've got Whelan, Bajorquez.
I'm going way back.
Didn't Jeff Fiegels punt for the Packers once?
I think
once?
He was there. Is that the guy that got mad at me at the Pro Bowl? I think it was.
Fiegels got mad at you?
Did he play for Arizona?
He did. Yeah, and he was a Pro Bowl. Yeah, in 1995, the year you were there. And he yelled at me.
I'm like, shut up. Don't ever talk to me.
Oh, Fiegels never punted for the Packers. Okay, but he punted forever.
Yeah, I yelled at him. He's a nice kid. He took it.
Why did he yell at you?
Because I wasn't snapping very well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know who the best punter in Packers history is by average?
Fiegels punted for 21 years.
Yeah, I know.
Packers punter by average?
Yes.
Jaime?
Tim Mastey.
Oh.
Who's the dude that Herb Sherman drafted in the third round?
Oh, that was a kicker, though. That was Brett.
No, it was a punter. No, you're right.
You're right. He did draft it. Oh, who was that?
It was at Ohio State.
Yep.
I don't know his name.
Yeah. Josh is going to have to look that one up. He's going to say it, and it's going to be obvious. Craig saying Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, potential. Hasn't been that long.
Potential.
But.
Shout out to Mark, who said we're watching football in Scotland for sure. So maybe Mark's got a plan. Shout out to Bluty.
Okay.
Who's coming along on the trip. All right, Josh is going to look for the answer. We'll come up with an answer.
All right.
And we'll also move on. Get us your answers. What line do you want involved? Give us a line, your best one, that you want involved in our thank you letter to the New York Giants general manager, Shane, thanking him for not re-signing Xavier McKinney. We'll get to you coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Thank you to everybody for texting it. BJ Sanders was the name we were looking for. 87th overall pick back in 2004.
And he played 14 games?
14 games.
That's fireable.
Well, guess what?
Did he get fired the next year?
He did.
Good move.
2005 draft was not his draft.
And he was not a bad coach.
Oh, he was a good coach.
The GM side of it is probably what got him canned.
The draft
Jamal
that he
Jamal Reynolds?
Had,
I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, the drafts he had were not very good. Again, 2004 one, his first-round pick was Ahmad Carroll. Not great for Mike Sherman. Our guy Josh in Heartland, a little offended because somehow we started naming punters, and he said, are you guys really going to go through naming punters without naming your GKB teammate?
He never punted for the Packers.
Yeah, but we were also naming, like, punters. I mean, and it's not like, no offense to Brad. Not going to be in the Hall of Fame either.
He was a good punter in his day.
Yeah, well, he was good. There. Showed our proper respect. Josh, were you watching the Thursday night game last night?
I was indeed.
How did the NFL screw up this replay? Because apparently, I see a story this morning of the NFL, there was a punt that was muffed, and they go to review it, and they ended up getting the call wrong because they didn't get the right angle in time, despite everybody seeing it on their televisions who are watching on Amazon last night.
Yeah, here's Terry McCauley trying to explain that for us from the Amazon broadcast of the game.
Terry, go back to that, the controversial play on the punt.
Yeah, Al, I spoke with Walt Anderson in the command center in New York, and what they're telling me, they did not get our enhanced video that we showed the ball touching the finger. What they had was the raw feed from our cameras, and it was not clear and obvious to them that it touched the finger.
Mm.
How does a TV broadcast have more power than the NFL Replay Center? How is this possible? And if you know that this is a thing, why not, with all the other monitors you have there in the Replay Center in New York or Secaucus or wherever the bleep it is, how do you not just, okay, you know, let's reserve one screen for the actual broadcast?
Is this a product of there's too many networks airing these games? Because does Amazon have the exact same amount of cameras that CBS or Fox would have?
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
Then what's the problem?
The only thing, so like your regional games, your noons, maybe depending upon like if you're the Fox game of the week or the CBS game of the week at 3:25, you might have another extra camera. But if you're just a regular noon game, you know, with the D team,
yeah,
you probably don't have as many cameras.
Okay.
But for a primetime game, like this is all Amazon has. And Amazon had it. For whatever reason, the NFL Replay Center did not. How does this happen?
It shouldn't be that hard.
How is the NFL this bad at figuring out replay?
What did it matter in the game? Or was the game already
It would
hand?
Have benefited the Niners, who ended up winning,
yeah,
but it would have given the ball to the Niners, like, in position to kind of put the game away,
mm-hmm,
in that situation. Like, the game would have been different. It wouldn't have required a Isaac Garendo, former Badger, 80-yard run to kind of seal it for him.
Yeah, I mean,
it seems... And, like, I don't know if... Because Amazon's whole push to being Thursday night was how they were going to, like, technologically advance the whole process. And if you heard me say it was a digitally enhanced or it was an enhanced video that they couldn't get from the raw feed from the camera. So, like, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if the amount of cameras is the exact same for primetime game to primetime game. But for whatever reason, they didn't have the broadcast as one of the options to watch, which feels like you should be taking all pieces of information possible.
This to me is not an Amazon problem. It's an NFL problem.
Yes.
I'm guessing Amazon, with what they're paying for the Thursday night package, they're going all out with the cameras and the technology, as Joshy mentioned. How you don't have every option available to you in the if you're the NFL Replay Center is beyond me.
But I mean, they should be getting a jump on it. They should be able to look at a play, right, as it happens in real time and say, that's going to be reviewable. Get on it. And that would, I mean, because it's probably, what, 2 minutes? Maybe not 2 minutes, but there is a gap between, all right, the previous play is under review. They should be already all over that.
And sometimes, so what frustrates me as a fan is I don't know when they do that and when they don't do it. Because, I mean, we had a bunch of replays, you know, the Packers game against Minnesota, trying to figure out what is and isn't a catch. And then in this game, and I know you didn't watch it live, Chew, you just went back and watched it. I don't know if in the replay they even had this in there. But on Tucker Kraft's touchdown, they did not review that. It was like replay assisted because they initially ruled him short of the goal line.
Yes.
The Packers didn't have to challenge. They went, with replay assistance, he's in the end zone, it's a touchdown. So the Packers didn't even have to use a challenge. It just doesn't make sense.
I don't understand that, though. I don't understand that because if they didn't call it a touchdown on the field, it's not reviewable.
Well,
now, if it was a touchdown, they review every touchdown.
But like they do this replay. The one thing I don't understand, and maybe we try to get an NFL official on at some point to explain it, I don't understand when they use the replay assistant and when they don't.
If I were to guess, they would be rather reticent to give an answer on it because as somebody, all of us here watch a bunch of NFL games, it seems to be applied whenever they feel like it, with no real restrictions on when they can or can't, because a scoring play of all the plays feels like one you should have to earn it. You should have to, like, to say, like, just to give a team points.
Joshy, here's the problem in a nutshell. A lot of smart people are stupid, you know? Stop hiring such smart people.
Wait, so you want them to hire dumb people?
Well, I don't know if dumb's the word, but how about common sense people? I'll take common sense over smarts any day of the week. It's easy when you don't have smarts to say that.
Hiring
such smart people because a lot of times they're dumb.
Please save this question for Craig.
He'll agree with me, I guarantee.
All right, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do here, Josh. You're going to clip that. That way, this way, you're going to clip it, and then we're just going to play it for Craig. And we're going to ask him, because GKB has some pretty good hiring practices, is this one of the processes that GKB uses when hiring people?
Yes.
Stop hiring so many smart people, because smart people are dumb.
Yeah, I stand by that.
I don't know how you're going to top that. We're going to try, though. Hour two of the show is coming up. 2 minutes.